ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 10. We're going to read the verses 1 through 6. Since there's no purport, this is the beginning of the new chapter called The Battle Between the Demigods and Vritrasura. Omar Ginatram Dasya Janam Janas Lakaya Saksu Nitem Zuna Tazme Shigur Venuha Sri Chaitanya Manobi Stam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaka Dhammayam Dantu Swapadantikam Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvani Charni Navasai Shunyavari Paskachadi Sitarni Sri Krishna Chaitanya Guru Nipsananda Sri Advaita Gradhar Sivaste Guru Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. So last chapter was the appearance of the demon Vritrasura. This chapter is the battle between the demigods and Vritrasura. Text number 1. Sukadeva Goswami said, after instructing Indra in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, then and there disappeared from the presence of the onlooking demigods. O King Parikshit, following the instructions, the Lord's instructions, the demigods approached Dachi, the son of Atharva. He was very liberal, and when they begged him to give them his body, he at once partially agreed. However, just to hear religious instructions from them, he smilingly and jokingly spoke as follows: O elevated demigods, at the time of death, severe, unbearable pain takes away the consciousness of all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Don't you know about this pain? Text number four. In this material world, every living entity is very much addicted to this material body, struggling to keep his body forever. Everyone tries to protect it by all means, even at the sacrifice of all his possessions. Therefore, who would be prepared to deliver his body to anyone, even if it were demanded by Lord Vishnu? Text number 5. The demigods replied, O exalted Brahmana, pious persons like you, whose activities are praiseworthy, are very kind and affectionate to people in general. What can such pious souls give for the benefit of others? What can't such pious souls give for the benefit of others? They can give everything, including their bodies. Today's verse, text number 6. Nunam savata paro lokeo na veda para sankatam vedivala na yachita netina yada ishvaraha nanum sarvata paraloko na veda para sankantam yadi veda na dvi chaita Nitin Naha Yad Isharaha. Someone else? Word for word. Nunam. Certainly. Svartapara. Interested only in sense gratification in this life or the next. Loka. Materialist people in general. Na. Not. Veda, no. Para, sankatam, the pain of others. Yadi, if. Veda, no. Not. Yacheta, would ask. Na, no. Iti, thus. Na, aha, does not say. Yat, since. Ishvaraha, able to give charity. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who are too self-interested beg for something from others, not knowing of others' pain. But if the beggar knew the difficulty of the giver, he would not ask for anything. Similarly, he who is able to give charity does not know the beggar's difficulty, for otherwise he would not refuse to give the beggar anything he might want as charity. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse describes two people, one who gives charity and one who begs for it. A beggar should not ask charity from a person who is in difficulty. Similarly, one who is able to give charity should not deny a beggar. These are the moral instructions of the Shastra. Chanakya Pandit says, San ni mitte param jago vinashe yate sati. Everything within this material world will be destroyed. Therefore, one should use everything for a good purpose. If one is advanced in knowledge, he must always be prepared to sacrifice anything for a better cause. At the present moment, the entire world is in a dangerous position under the spell of a godless civilization. The Krishna conscious movement needs many exalted, learned persons who will sacrifice their lives to revive God consciousness throughout the world. We therefore invite all men and women advanced in knowledge to join the Krishna conscious movement and sacrifice their lives for the great cause of reviving the God consciousness of human society. Mukam karoti vachalam angam lagate giram tat kripa tam aham bande chigun dinatarnam. Of my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, liberator of fallen souls, by whose mercy turns the dumb into elegant speakers, enables the lame to cross mountains, and the dog to cross the ocean. Translation, once again. Those who are too self-interested beg something from others, not knowing of others' pain. But if the beggar knew the difficulty of the giver, he would not ask for anything. Similarly, who is able to give charity does not know the beggar's difficulty, for otherwise he would not refuse to give the beggar anything he might want in charity. So here, this is the story of the battle between the demigods and Vritishura. The demigods are demi means semi. They're higher than human beings. They're devotees, but they're mixed devotees. They have material desires. So even though they got the darshan of the Lord Vishnu, still they didn't ask for liberation. They didn't ask to get out of the material world. They asked them to help them protect them against Vritishura, to win the fight against the demons. So this is called Sakama, devotee. Kama, Sarva, Kama, Va, Moksha, Kama, Dharadi. Kama means no desire. A pure devotee has no desire. When the Lord comes to him, he doesn't ask for anything. Just like Dhruv Maharaj. He was insulted by his stepmother. He went to the forest for austerity for 6 months. Then he got the darshan of the Lord. But he wanted a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, which was no such thing. So when he got the darshan of the Lord said, well, I'll give you whatever benediction you want. But he said he felt ashamed and embarrassed that he was approaching the Lord for material benefits. He said, I was looking for broken glass, but I found a valuable jewel. So devotees are not asked. Lord Chaitanya said, Na dhanjana na janana sundari kavita vaja ishwari mama jamani jamani ishwari bhagavad bhakti haiti ki tohi. I don't want a wealth. I don't want a beautiful wife. I don't want many followers. All I want is your causeless devotional service unconditionally. This is the stage of anartha nivritti. The devotee is desireless. Doesn't mean he has no desires, but he only desires the interests of the Lord. The demigods, they got the darshan of the Lord, but they misused it by asking for a benediction to help them win the battle. So the devotee, they see everything as Krishna's mercy, and whether they're in happiness or distress, we don't blame Krishna, we don't approach Krishna, but we take it as Krishna's mercy. So if I cut my finger, I think it's Krishna's mercy, because of my past misdeeds, I should have cut my whole arm. Anyway, this verse According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says the first lines, those who are too self-interested beg something from others, not knowing of others' pains. But if the beggar knew the difficulty of the giver, he would not ask for anything. And this is the dachi. Demigods approaching the dachi, asking him for his bones. And at first he refused to give his bones because he wanted to hear some religious instructions. Following the Lord's instructions, the demigods approached the Dahachi. He was very liberal, and when they begged him to give his body, at once partially agreed. However, just to hear religious instructions from them, he smiled and joked. So he spoke as follows. So he's giving reasons. First part of this verse is giving reasons why he shouldn't give charity. Then the other part of the verse is about spoken by the demigods. Similarly, he who's able to give charity does not know the beggar's difficulty, for otherwise he would not refuse to give the beggar anything he might want in charity. So the dachi is they're asking charity from him, and the demigods are the beggars. So in the Bhagavad Gita, verse 17:20 says that charity should be given out of duty, without expectation of return, at the proper place and time, to a worthy person. This is charity given in the mode of goodness. So, giving charity, one should discriminate. But even the Bhaktisiddhanta told his household of disciples, if they didn't give charity to the widows in Vrindavan, that they wouldn't want to give to Vishnu either, or Krishna either. Because they'd have maintained a miserly mentality. So it says charity should be given at places of pilgrimage, like Vrindavan, Mayapur, Raghunath Puri, at the time of eclipse, solar eclipse, at the end of the month, in temples, whenever anyone comes to the temple for the first time, they should bring some gift for the deity. Patram Pushpam Paloto Yam. Yome Bhakta Prajatati. Krishna says, a little a flower, leaf, water, I will accept fruit. So this is what Krishna wants. One devotee went to one country, Indonesia, I believe, and there was a big temple, some demigod temple. And the priest from the temple came to the devotee and said, you know, our temple is better than yours because we offer wine, we offer fish, we offer meat, and you only offer fruits and flowers. So our temple is better than yours. Now, Krishna doesn't say that in Bhagavad Gita. He says, you can offer me fruit, flower, leaf, water. That's what I'll accept. Krishna doesn't accept meat. Durga doesn't accept meat. She's a pure devotee. Meat and wine, these foods are in the mode of ignorance. So we shouldn't take those foods. We shouldn't give those foods thinking that this is proper. But people who are less intelligent worship demigods think this is a proper kind of worship. So she given charity to the temple and given charity to the Vaishnavas. Generally, brahmacharis and sannyasis are not required to give charity. The householders are required to give charity. When the household ashram should give 50% of his income in the service of the Lord, is Prabhupada's standard. But also, households are supposed to spend money for the distribution of prasadam. And householders are supposed to invite the sannyasis to their house and feed them prasadam, inquire from them. Sukadeva Goswami would go to the householders and beg for stay only for the time it took to milk a cow. And he would instruct them. But householders are generally considered poor-hearted, which means they think that family life, family responsibility is first, and spiritual life is second. But that, of course, if one is married, has children, he has responsibilities to take care of. He shouldn't neglect his responsibilities. But at the same time, he should know that his material body is temporary, and he's going to have to give everything up at the time of death. So therefore, he should utilize whatever he has in the service of Krishna. Nibandhan Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Uchite. So, whether one's a brahmachari, gyasa, vanaprasa, sannyas, if he has an accumulated wealth, if he has extra money, to give it for some good cause, some project in this society. Sometimes sannyasis, they acquire a lot of money, and they can give their money for some charitable cause. Shishi Gornitai Krishna Balarada Sam Ki Jai. So it's generally since Giriraj Maharaj gave the money to build the hospice over here by the Krishna Bhavan tree, so people can come to Vrindavan and leave their body in a peaceful way. So this is what's being described here. Vidachi, Vidahi, he's a self-realized soul. So he's willing to give his body, but a normal person is not. No one wants to die. I ask anybody, can you give your body? No one's going to agree, because death is very painful and also very fearful. When people die in fear, the body becomes stiff. When people die in Krishna consciousness, like Srila Prabhupada, his body didn't become stiff. So there's a difference between when devotees die and when the ordinary people die. Because they see the Yamadus coming, they're a very fearful, painful condition. But Dachi, because the Lord ordered it, he knew it was the proper thing to do. And the demigods were anxious to get his bones so that they can make a weapon, a thunderbolt weapon for Lord Indra, so he could kill Vritrasura. Of course, Vritrasura wasn't an ordinary demon. He was also a devotee. This will be explained later in the story about King Chittaketu. So, the Prabhupada is stressing here in this purport not only about charity, but he's stressing that this civilization we live in, he said, this today's entire world is in a dangerous position under the spell of a godless civilization. So he says, if one is advanced in knowledge, he must be prepared to sacrifice everything for a better cause. So we know that To become a devotee means we sacrifice all material comforts. And we follow the four regulated principles: no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And brahmacharis live very simple life and very, this is the sacrifice that we have to make. And people are willing to sacrifice material comforts for Krishna consciousness. But we're not the loser, because when we come to Krishna consciousness, brahmjizdvaranibhartante, we get a higher taste. We enjoy these things. Getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning is not something that we want to do. Normally, before we were devotees, you would stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning and get up at 10 o'clock in the morning. And when we become devotees, it's required that everyone must rise before 4 o'clock. But this is for a better cause, because the 1.5 hour, the Brahma-murta hour, is the best time for making spiritual advancement. And Mangalartik means auspicious. Srila Prabhupada said, if you're too sick to come to Mangalartik, then you should not take prasadam. You should fast at least half that day. So it was very mandatory. Even at Kumbh Mela, it was cold, severe cold. The devotees weren't coming to Mangalartik. Srila Prabhupada got up himself, took bath himself, and came to Mangalartik just to set the example. The devotees should still come to Mangalartik. Whether it's hot or cold, day or night, whatever the conditions. Now it's very hot, so it's a little tapasya to come to Mangalartik, to come to the temple and all these things. But still, it's for a better cause, for Krishna consciousness. So at Mangalartik, we come to take darshan of the Lord. The Lord the Lord wants to see his devotees in Mangalartik. Everyone should attend the Mangalartik. Everyone should attend the Guru Pujan class. This way, utilize your life properly. Sri Shashika Prabhu, he wrote a book called Family Business. He says, sadhana. Sadhana is very important, and good sadhana is important if one wants to be a preacher, a book distributor. So, Prabhupada speaking here about the dangerous position of the godless civilization. So to revive the God consciousness of the people, the world, is not an easy job. So we have to save their fallen conditioned souls and save ourselves at the same time. It goes to work simultaneously. So if one has good sadhana, then he'll have good character. Prabhupada said, we're making this movement, we're creating first-class men, not fifth-class men. And Prabhupada was asked, what's a first-class man? It's anyone who follows these four principles: no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. That's a first-class man. And Prabhupada was asked if the devotees could go for book distribution in shirt and pants instead of dhoti and kurta. He said, yes, this is okay, but she should always be perfect ladies and gentlemen. So whatever way you were dressed, we should dress nicely, we should be clean, and act properly. So the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago, and the six Goswamis were the example of the highest quality of the Vaishnavas. I offer my respectful relations to the six Goswamis: Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunatha Das Goswami, Raghunatha Mata Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. who were very expert in scrutinizing, studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. So the Goswamis they sacrificed their lives for this purpose of propagating Krishna consciousness. Although they stayed in Vrindavan as Hindu bhajan, at the same time they wrote books to propagate or disseminate or distribute Krishna consciousness to everyone, to all over the world. It says that they kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant. In order to deliver the poor, conditioned souls, they accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants. But they were always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna and bathed always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were engaged in government service in Bengal, and they had accumulated boatload of gold and silver. But they were able to give it. They gave it all away. They kept 50. They gave 50% to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. They gave 25% to the family members, and they kept 25% for emergencies. Thus, Rupa Goswami knew that Sanatana Goswami was going to have some trouble getting released from the government, so he kept some money with a grocer so Sanatana Goswami could bribe his way out of jail and come to Vrindavan, meet Mahaprabhu, and then come to Vrindavan. This is what is being described here. People are sacrificing their lives. And Prabhupada says, "We therefore invite all men and women advanced in knowledge to join the Krishna conscious movement." Knowledge means to know the difference between matter and spirit and the control of both. Intelligence means to see things in the proper perspective. So it says, Jantihi Sumedishaha. The Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago, and those with sufficient intelligence will take to this Krishna conscious movement. Otherwise, human life is a rare opportunity. One should not misuse his human life and simply live like the cats and dogs, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the one who preaches his message, there's no one more dear to me than he. So the one who preaches his message of Krishna consciousness, this is what Krishna wanted once. This is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. When Prabhupada first met his Guru Maharaj in 1922, his Guru Maharaj ordered him to spread Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking world. So at that time, India was under the rule of the British rule, and Prabhupada was in the thought that India had to be an independent country before Krishna consciousness could be spread. The Bhaktisiddhanta refuted that argument. He said, no, this Krishna consciousness movement is not dependent on anything material. It can't wait for that, for India to get independence. It must be spread immediately. So Srila Prabhupada took that order as his life and soul, prepared himself to come to America at the age of 70 to begin this Krishna consciousness movement. And when Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta in 1933 at Radhakund, Bhaktisiddhanta told Srila Prabhupada, if you ever get money, to print books. Because Bhaktisiddhanta was not pleased with his disciples. In Calcutta, they had acquired a large temple building, and the devotees were fighting over who should occupy which room. So Bhaktisiddhanta said, better to sell the marble and print books. So Srila Prabhupada took that instruction to heart, the print books, and he worked very hard. Although he traveled the globe 14 times in 12 years, at the same time he would rise in the early morning and translate Srimad Bhagavatam into English and purport, give his Bhaktivedanta purports. And now he wrote these books, and then he ordered that the devotees distribute these books also. And he wanted the devotees also to read the books. Prabhupada once said that devotees distribute the books, people say, what's in the book? They say, well, we don't know, we're just selling them, we don't know. But Prabhupada wanted the devotees also study his books and know what's in the books, to be like a lawyer. When a lawyer goes to court, he knows, he studied the case, and he can cite other cases to prove his case. So we should also be like Srila Prabhupada. Well, Srila Prabhupada had so many room conversations and conversations with reporters. He was never defeated in any way by any scientist or any scholars. Because Srila Prabhupada was conversant in the science of Krishna consciousness. He knew everything. And therefore, at least he knew everything that was required. One time a man asked Srila Prabhupada, how many windows are in the Empire State Building? So he said, the spiritual master, he's supposed to know everything. So Prabhupada said, well, how many drops of water are there in a mirage? A mirage is looks like there's water in the desert, but there's nothing there. So in other words, Prabhupada said, why, don't ask me such foolish questions. Because the spiritual master, he knows everything in relation to Krishna. Everything about the material world or the spiritual world. He might not know some detail like that, but... So here Prabhupada is stressing that we invite all the men and women. He didn't discriminate between men and women. He wanted he saw everyone as spirit, soul, that they should join this Krishna conscious movement and sacrifice their lives for the great cause of reviving the God consciousness of human society. So this is what this Krishna conscious movement is all about. That we're a preaching movement, and especially the sannyasi. Sannyasi is supposed to travel and preach. And we have many sannyasis in our movement, are going all over the world, traveling and preaching very vigorously. And having kirtan melas and so many programs, inviting all the people, conditioned souls, to try to revive the Krishna consciousness of all the conditioned souls. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. It says that Krishna consciousness is not something that is already there in the heart of all living entities. It's like the ability of the child to walk is there. But it would take some time for the child to walk. Slowly, little by little, a child begins to walk. But Krishna consciousness is there. Everyone has an internal relationship with Krishna. But when we come in the material world, we become covered by the illusory energy, threefold modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So the Krishna consciousness movement is meant to bring people out of the modes of material nature, bring people to goodness or to pure goodness. Otherwise, if someone is engaged in sinful activities, his brain will not be able to comprehend this knowledge. That's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Many scholars, they read these Prabhupada's books, they read other books in Vedas, but they can't understand anything about them because they're sinful. So sinful people are blocks, if we're sinful, that blocks our ability to understand spiritual knowledge. The first one has to purify himself. And someone, therefore, we have our morning program. We're practicing Vaidhi Bhakti. We're following strictly the orders of the spiritual master. Then the morning program, chanting 16 rounds, all these things help us to stay in the mode of goodness, or pure goodness, and not to misuse our intelligence. Now, this Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada started the society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so that the devotees could live together and associate together. Because by associating with devotees, if you associate with drunkards, you become a drunkard. If you associate with thieves, you become a thief. If you associate with devotees, you become a devotee. So we go out on book distribution, we preach to people. We don't associate with these people. We give them our association. We're not interested in their activities. We're interested in giving them Krishna consciousness, a better way of life. This is an alternative. Everyone has a choice how they want to live their life according to their free will. We still have free will, and we can choose whether we want to serve Krishna or whether we want to disturb Krishna, whether we want to be a devotee of Krishna or whether we want to be a sense enjoyer. In the material world, everyone's interested in dharma, artha, kama, religion, economic development, sense gratification. But these do not get one free from the cycle of birth and death. That's the whole problem. The whole problem facing everyone in human society is birth, death, old age, and disease. And those scientists, they may promise in the future we're going to stop death, in the future we're going to stop disease, but they can't do that. We're going to stop old age. Yesterday, someone said they invented something new to make old people look young again. But that is only artificial. Everyone has to go, they have to take birth, they have to live for some time, they have to get old, they have to die. Nobody, this is the law of nature. The law is there, no one can disobey the law. So, laws of nature are there, the laws of God are there, everything's there in Prabhupada's books. Slowly, as we give people Prabhupada's books, people start to read Prabhupada's books, they understand that they're misusing their human form of life, they start to take to the process of Krishna consciousness. So, Dadichi agreed to give his bones, but first he wanted to hear some spiritual knowledge. But he wasn't an ordinary human being. He was a sage. And for him to give his body, first he went into samadhi, and he didn't feel any pain in giving his body. So it was for a higher cause in the Lord's order. So he did it. But we can't do that. Because we're still have some conditioning, we're still attached to this body. Tenth offense in chanting the holy name is to maintain material attachments even after there's so many instructions on the subject matter. I, me, mine. We have to give up this I, me, mine. Thinking I'm this body and everything belongs to me. As long as we have material attachments, then even Queen Kunti, she's praying to give up the affection for the Vrishnis and the Pandavas. She's praying that she can become an unalloyed devotee. The mud, it says the mud in the heart, the mud is there. We have to cleanse away the mud in our heart, the dirty things, the anarthas, the unwanted things. And that this way we can get free from the bondage of repeated birth and death. As long as we have material attachments, we'll never be able to get out of the material world. So it's very, we have to do these things, cultivate Krishna consciousness. We have to be patient though, because we've been in the material world since time immemorial, struggling with the six senses. It says the living entity in the material world, he's struggling with the six senses, which include the mind. But Krishna says they are my part and parcel. Jiva, the living entity, are my part and parcel, but they're struggling with the six senses, which include the mind. So we're approaching everyone, we're asking everyone to take the Krishna consciousness to solve the problem of repeated birth and death, solve the problem of material bondage, not have to take birth again. It says that this is the most says in the Vikramana Shosti that one, if you take the Krishna consciousness, there's no loss of diminution, and it can save one from the greatest type of danger. And the greatest type of danger is to fall back into the animal species, the lower species of life. There's 8,400,000 species, and of that, only 400,000 are human species. And of that, only a small percentage is civilized human beings. So, to civilize a human being, it means one who is accepted as spiritual master, is following some religious principles. Otherwise, most people in this world are not civilized. And that's why Prabhupada says that this is a dangerous position of the material world. The entire material world is in a dangerous position under the spell of a godless civilization. So we know the godless civilization. In 1948, when India was declared, got independence from India, they wanted to make a law against slaughterhouses to stop the killing, cow killing. So they were pious, they were a little religious. But then they decided that that would ruin the economy of India, so they didn't do it. We know this is the most heinous act of this animal slaughter, killing, wholesale slaughter of cows, because the cow is the most dear to Lord Krishna, and all the demigods reside in the body of the cow. The cow is like your mother, it gives you milk, so many wonderful things. The cow should never be killed. This is the most sinful activity. And the whole world, people are so, because of sin, killing so much cow killing, there can never be peace in the world. There has to be war everywhere. This is why Prabhupada says it's a dangerous position. If people don't believe in God, they say there's no God. When people are atheists and they think there's no life after death, so you can do whatever you want, they're not responsible for anything. If you kill a cow, you have to take birth. There's many hairs on the body of that cow. And the slaughter of people, the slaughter of cows, people go to this market, supermarket, and buy meat. They say, I'm not killing the cow. But everyone's implicated. The person that orders the cow to be killed, the person that kills the cow, the person that transports the cow, the person that packages the cow, the person that sells the cow, the person that cooks the cow, the person that eats the cow, they're all responsible. They all share in the karma for the killing of a cow. And Srimad Bhagavatam says, if you want to eat meat, then eat a goat or a deer. And never is it anywhere say that one should eat a cow, kill cows and eat cows. This is going to be, whole world is degradation of the whole world because of this animal slaughter. So people should give up animal slaughter, meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, join this Krishna consciousness movement and help, in any way they can to spread Krishna consciousness so people all over the world can become peaceful and happy. as Srila Prabhupada, what would happen if all the people in the world would become Krishna conscious? He said everyone would be peaceful and happy. I have some service. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.